buildings once. We had an air conditioner, just not walk off. Actually, we saw the tracks in the snow of them pick up and steal our air conditioner. So anyways, I drive around the building just to check the property. That's the first reason, to make sure that things look good. The second reason is this. A few years back, 4 or 5 years back, the city required us to pay $40,000 to pave that back section. It wasn't just us. It was all of our neighbors that had to do it. I want to make sure that, if nothing else, by me alone, we're going to get our money's worth. Oh, yeah. I'm going to drive around that back, and I'm going to drive on that 40 feet of pavement just so that it's worth every penny. Now, third reason, we paved our parking lot last summer, and it is smooth. And there is nothing like driving on a smooth parking lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, for 14 years, I was going through cracks and crevices and canyons to get to a parking spot. And it's just nice to drive through there. So that's why I go around the back. Nice. All right. This past Monday, I drove around the building, as I've done, coming in the rear entrance, and I realized that somebody was kind enough, between Sunday when we did the live stream and Monday when I came into work, someone was kind enough to smash a glass bottle on the parking lot. And not just, you know, one place, but it shattered all over. So I drove around it, and I parked my car where I normally park it. And this isn't the first time that's happened, but other times it's happened, I'm like, I'm going to pick it up in the afternoon. My most creative times are in the morning, and in the afternoon I get tired, so it's good to go out and sweep up the glass then. But this morning, or Monday morning, as I came, I was walking towards the building, and I just felt this nudge, like, no, go pick up the glass now. I said, all right. So I came in, I put my bag down, I got a dustpan, a broom, and I put my AirPods in, and I called Ron Curry. And Ron Curry and I chatted for a while I swept up glass and put it in the trash can. It was all clean, no big deal. Came back into the church and came into the sanctuary for a couple of minutes, look around, pray for a couple, just, you know, a little bit. And then I went up to my office. And my office, for those who don't know, the windows face the parking lot, right where the glass had been broken. So we're talking a matter of like 5 minutes from when I cleaned it up to when I actually made it up into my office. And in that amount of time, our neighbor across the street and his young son were now out riding their bikes. Dad was walking. Young James is actually his name. He was in training wheels on his bike cruising around. And I thought, that's pretty good. I'm glad I picked that up. Well, from that moment on until 3 o'clock that afternoon, there were people in the parking lot. There was some boys that were playing basketball for quite a while. There was an aunt that had come by and was watching her nieces ride their bikes. There was an RV. Somebody in their big truck pulled up in an RV, and they stopped, and they were opening doors and gadgets and playing with things. Those of you who own RVs, you probably know what they were doing. I didn't know what they were doing. But up until 3 o'clock, the parking lot was just full. Now, had I not picked up the glass the first thing, who knows? We could have had popped tires. We could have had some cut feet. A nudge that I responded. Have you ever had a nudge like that? And if so, how did you respond? Maybe not glass in a parking lot, but...
Yeah. Usually it's I'm walking along and I'll see a piece of trash or something like that on the side of the path that I'm on or something like that. And initially... I'll be honest, I oftentimes just kind of pass it on because, you know, there are people that's their job. They pick up the trash on the path and stuff. But then after I pass it, I'm like, man, there's that verse that says, if you know to do right and don't do it, that's sin. And so I turn around and go pick it up and I go put it in the grass, in the trash.
Ouch. Convicting. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
sometimes you respond to the nudge, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. How about you guys out there participating in the live stream this morning? Have you ever felt a nudge? Over the next several minutes, you know, it might be something completely different than what we've talked about, but over the next several minutes, do me a favor and write about that. Tell us about it in the comment section. I'm going to call those out a little bit later. Tell us, what did you feel the nudge was for? Did you respond? And like I said, I'll shout those out a little bit later. Here's a question for you. Was my nudge to pick up the shattered glass from God? Does God talk to us through broken bottles? And is that still small stirring within us something that God can use to communicate with us? I think it is. And it takes time, maybe years, to develop that ear or that sense that we actually respond to the nudge. I mean, I still miss it 83.7% of the time. That's right. But I absolutely think that this is a way that God talks to us. Now, we're wrapping up our sermon series this morning on learning to listen to God. And we're going to think through the idea that God can use a nudge to speak to us. Now, before we dive in, let me pray. Lord, every Sunday this series, we've asked you to speak to us. And I want to do that same thing again. Recognizing that you can choose how and when to speak, I ask that you would help us be good listeners. I thank you that there is a variety of ways that you can speak. And as we look at another way this morning, help us to hear from you if this is something you want us to continue growing in. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is the last day in the sermon series that we've been calling, Can You Hear Me Now? Learning to Listen to God. And this sermon series came about when one of our small groups read the book Whisper. I don't know if you can see it, but I'm holding it up. By Mark Batterson. This was several years ago, and one of the small group members came and brought me the book and said, "Hey, Pastor James, this is a great book. Like, there's some things in here that could preach." And he said, "Just hang on to it." And it took me a few years to read it, but I finally did realize this would be really good for us to think through, to wrestle with, to find what Scripture says about these different ways that God can talk. And I think it's been a good series. I know I've been challenged each week as we've been encouraged to put into practice some practical practices that can help us hear better from God. If you want the church language, some spiritual disciplines that can help us hear from God. It's been so good for me to be encouraged to listen to God more through silence or through stillness. I've been reminded that God speaks loudly through His Scripture, and that's the most comfortable way for me to hear from God. Now, I've also been pushed outside of my comfort zone as we've listened to God through, like, other people, or God speaking through dreams, maybe God using pain to speak to us, or open doors, closed doors. Last week, we looked at how God could speak to us through the desires of our hearts. This week, we dig a little bit deeper to see if God can speak to us through a nudge, you know, something deep within us. This past week, as I was thinking through this compared to the other seven or eight ways that we have looked at how God could speak to us, I realized that there's one significant difference. In those first seven or eight ways that we've looked at, all along I've been saying, hey, if you think you hear God saying something, take your time to make sure that it's actually God doing it. It's actually God communicating it with you. Compare it to some of the other things that we've looked at. You know, seek Scripture, spend some time praying, talk to somebody else. If you think that God is telling you to do something. My encouragement has been, don't rush into acting or saying or doing something before you know for sure that it's God. Richard Foster, author of the classic book Celebration of Discipline, he writes, "In contemporary society, our adversary majors in three things: noise, crowds, and hurry." Hurry. So all along this series, I've been saying, don't hurry. Don't rush. If you think God is telling you something, make sure it is actually God. Now, that being said, today is different. Like, if we're thinking that God can speak to us through a nudge, this is the one way that God might be saying, hey, I need you to respond quicker. I've got something for you here that I don't want you to miss out on. This could be the one way that you don't have that time to go and pray about it, think about it, talk to some friends about it. I mean, if I had taken 2 days to pray about whether or not I should pick up the glass in the parking lot, how many flat tires would we have gotten? When you get the nudge, it is oftentimes God saying, I have an opportunity for you that I don't want you to miss. It's a nudge. Now, some people call it that. Others call it a stirring. Some people might call it a prompting. Still others say, I was moved to do something. Take, for example, Jesus. I think this was the story that Tessa and Patty read. Jesus felt a nudge when he was actually trying to get away from the crowds, hopped in a boat with his disciples to get a little R&R. And when he got out of the boat, Mark chapter 6, verse 34 says this. It says, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them. Compassion, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Jesus felt compassion. He felt the same thing as he traveled around all the towns and villages in the areas that he was teaching. In Matthew chapter 9, we read this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Same word, compassion. It's a great word. I've shared it with you before. You may remember what it means. It literally means that one's insides are churning. It means a stomach is rumbling. It means that something legitimate that you can feel is happening. It means that you are moved to do something. Jesus felt compassion. He felt moved to teach the crowd deep within himself. And he answered. Now, I'm sure that there were times that he didn't teach and preach, because crowds were all over the place. But apparently these two times in particular that we have recorded, the father must have been saying, hey, son, I want you to stop now. I want you to teach these people. Jesus felt the nudge. He didn't say, you know what, I have to wait to study Matthew Henry's concise commentary on Habakkuk just to make sure I got the right words to say to these people. Now, speaking of kind of random Old Testament prophets, the prophet Haggai was passing on a message from the Lord to the governor of Judah. Governor's name was Zerubbabel. Great name. Say it with me. Zerubbabel. All right, some of you may have heard Tim. You may not have. I didn't hear you. But Zerubbabel, God was talking to Zerubbabel through Haggai about building or rebuilding the temple. And God told the people through the prophet in Haggai chapter 1, verse 4, he says, why are you living in luxurious homes and houses while my house lies in ruins? A few more verses of that message, and what happens? God nudges Zerubbabel. He nudges him. Verse 14, still in chapter 1 of Haggai, it says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Stirred up. This word in Hebrew is rich. It means to be roused awake. It means to have your eyes opened. It means to stir. Okay, parents with teenagers, when your kid has slept till noon 15 and you're serving lunch, you go and stir them. It's the same type of word. God stirred the people. He awoke them. He roused them. He nudged them. And those individuals started taking steps to rebuild the temple. Now, you may have experienced this. Maybe it's coming through in some of your texts in the comment boxes. But there's times in life where, whether figuratively or literally, we actually sense somebody guiding and directing. We sense some nudging. It's that inner voice in us that's telling us the way to go. In the prophet Isaiah, God was telling the Lord's people, guys, stop straying. You need to come back. Stop rebelling. And he told them, if you come back, I'm going to guide and direct your path. He said it pretty clearly in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Can you picture that? Go to the right. No, go to the left. Wait, don't go quite yet. These are nudgings that I fully believe God is using to still communicate with us today. I mean, frankly, if I'll just call out what many of you are already thinking, these nudgings are the Holy Spirit talking to us. The nudgings are the Holy Spirit talking to us. Jesus said when he left that the Spirit would come. He would arrive. He'd live within us. John chapter 14, verse 26. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. Now, I believe that this Spirit absolutely teaches us and reminds us of what Jesus said and did. But I also fully believe that the Spirit also guides and directs, that the Spirit nudges us, as we have been saying. And he nudges us in our everyday lives. I'm not the only one who thinks that. The Apostle Paul actually believed that. And when he wrote a letter to the church in the region of Galatia, he said this, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. He said, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I mean, said in the way that we're talking about today, if we're listening to the nudges, let us respond to those nudges, because it's God's Spirit talking to us. So let's talk practically. What could this look like? What would it look like? Could it look like? Does a nudge look like? And how do we know if it's God guiding or directing or, you know, protecting us? Well, for some of you, as you said in the comment box, this nudge has been to slow down. You know, oftentimes when driving, you know, once or twice someone's narrowly missed an accident or a cop. That's definitely a nudge. Someone else had a nudge to give encouraging words to someone who lacks confidence. And when you gave those words, I bet it meant a ton to that person. Mike Crouch, you felt a nudge to go back to school when you lost your job. Such a strong nudge that you enrolled in classes even before talking to Debbie about it. That's impressive. Now, Mike and Debbie, I actually see your pictures right there. Thankfully, Debbie's still smiling when she learned this. Someone else gave a nudge or felt a nudge to call or write somebody who needed encouragement. I mean, these are definitely nudges that you guys have felt that you've responded to. Now, for me, sometimes those nudges have been deeply spiritual, and other times, not spiritual at all. I remember once, I was a freshman, I think, in high school, so almost 30 years ago, just gotten my driver's license and was driving with my family. I was driving, leaving church on Highway 212 in Montana, and I'd come behind a guy in a pickup who was going way slower than the speed limit. So I waited for a passing lane, completely legal, and right as I was about to turn into the passing lane, I just felt this gut check of, wait, don't pass yet. And no sooner had I kind of swerved back behind the truck than a semi coming down the hill crossed his double yellow line into my passing lane. He would have crushed us. I didn't realize it then, but I fully believe that was God nudging me to protect my entire family. I mean, you heard the nudge about the glass in the parking lot. Had I not picked up the glass, maybe some flat tires, maybe some cut feet, maybe even, and maybe this is a stretch, but maybe somebody would have had hard feelings towards a church who didn't clean up their glass in the parking lot and thus stay away from church from then on out. I don't know. You know, there's other times when you get the nudge and it does. It's like, absolutely, okay, God, you're using this moment right now to talk to me. I remember once I was on the phone with Abrielle Braxton. Many of you will remember her. And she was telling me about a toothache that she had. And I felt that nudge to pray for her, and I did. And didn't think anything of it until the next morning when she sent me a text and said, "Toothache's gone. You've got the gift of healing." I don't know if I do, but I felt the nudge and responded. Another time, I think I shared this story several years back. I had taken a group of junior high school kids to Chicago for a mission trip, and we visited a church on a Sunday morning, and as a visiting pastor, they asked me to share a little bit, and then they also asked me to be one of the people who would pray for the congregants who would come forward and request prayer, and it was, you know, slightly out of my comfort zone because I didn't know these people, but still, I wanted to honor their request, so I was praying for people, you know, put a hand on the shoulder and pray for them, And I remember very distinctly one lady was praying for her, and I felt in my innermost being God saying, "Pray for her stomach. Put your hand on her stomach and pray for it." And I kind of like paused for a second, and I asked the lady, I said, "Do you mind if I put my hand on your stomach and pray for you?" And she just kind of looked at me and nodded. So I did, and I don't even remember what I prayed, but prayed for her stomach. And when I opened my eyes, she was weeping. And she leaned in really close and said, "James," or she didn't say James, but she said, "Pastor, I'm pregnant, and I haven't told anybody." I mean, you talk about feeling a nudge. I mean, those are times that I get goosebumps. And like I said at the beginning, most times I miss those nudges. But just like your nudges, just like my nudges, if the Spirit of God lives in us, which Tim and I read that verse early in our call to worship, if the Spirit of God lives in us, we each have equal access to hearing Him nudge us. It's just a matter of us getting used to recognizing that. So here's another question as we're thinking through this. How do we know it is God or God's Spirit that's nudging us? How do we know, you know, it's not just something that selfishly we want to do, or we think we need to correct somebody else. Like I've said in almost all, if not all, the other sermons, we need to practice the things that we are doing, right? Because not every time that we feel pain is it God talking to us. Not every time that we have a dream is God trying to communicate with us. And not every time somebody comes and says something profound to us is it God's voice speaking through them. In the same way, not every time that we feel a nudge is it God's nudge. So the question comes, how do we know if it is? Especially if I'm saying that sometimes this nudge is something we need to respond to a little bit more quickly. So is there a way that we can determine, is this nudge from God more quickly than some of the other ways? But if you ask that, here's how I would respond. Three different things. First is this. Much like all the other disciplines, we need to practice listening to and responding to these nudges. I mean, sometimes we're going to sense a nudge, we're going to respond, and we're going to nail it. It's going to absolutely be God talking to us. And other times, we're going to sense a nudge, respond to it, and it's not going to be. It's going to flop miserably. And that's okay. We will learn with practice. With times responding, times not responding, whether or not it is God's Spirit. We'll be able to learn that. So that's the first thing. Know that this takes practice. Second thing in determining if it's from God or not is this. If you sense a nudge, just say a quick prayer. God, is this from you? I don't want to act or do or say anything unless it's from you. And if it is from God and if he's trying to get your attention, he's going to poke you again. Get that second nudge, take that step. Take that action. Okay? Third thing, and this one might be the most important. I mean, the second was really good too, but the third thing is this. Since we are saying that this nudge that we're feeling is the Spirit of God, and I want to make that clear, it's not just what we ate for dinner the night before, but if this nudge is from the Spirit of God, then what we need to do really quickly is compare the nudge that we're feeling with the fruits of the Spirit. Because that's what the Spirit, that's his DNA. If we're sensing a nudge that involves, especially if we're sensing a nudge that involves other people. So before you act on anything, before you say anything, when you feel that stirring, ask yourself, will my actions or my words be loving? Will they be joyful? Will they bring peace? Will they demonstrate patience? Will they show goodness or exemplify faithfulness? Will they exude gentleness? Will they demonstrate self-control? These are the fruits of the Spirit, and that's what makes up the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If what you're sensing God tell you is outside of those things, then it might not be the Spirit of God. If that's the case, go back. Don't rush into this. Go back and look at some of these other ways that God may communicate with us. Talk to somebody else. Say, hey, I think I sensed God nudging me to give an encouraging word or to say something to somebody or to do this or that. And wait until you have confirmation that it was God's Spirit. Because God's not going to nudge you. The Spirit of God is not going to nudge you to do something that is different than his DNA, than his fruits of the Spirit. If it is him, when we feel that nudge, could it be God saying, can you hear me now? I absolutely think it could be. I absolutely do. So my encouragement to you is this. Pay attention to whatever nudges you get this week. If it is, ask God, is it you talking to me? And if it is, respond. And as I say so often, if you respond, call somebody. Tell them about it. You know, but make sure you're doing this right. Weigh the nudge on the scales of the fruits of the Spirit. Make sure it's coming from God. I mean, who knows? God could be speaking to you through a broken bottle in the parking lot. Over the last couple of months, we've seen through the pages of Scripture that God communicates in many different ways, a myriad of ways. We saw God communicating through the prophet Nathan to King David, so through other people. We saw God communicating through his word when King Josiah found a scroll. There's all the other ways that I listed to start the sermon also. And we didn't even cover all the ways that God chose to communicate in Scripture. I mean, he's got the face-to-face encounters with like the angel of the Lord when Philip was on the road and he saw the eunuch and hopped in his chariot and explained what the Isaiah passage meant and then baptized him. You know, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. We didn't even talk about that. And maybe my favorite that we should have talked about, God spoke through a donkey, through Balaam's donkey. There is a whole lot of ways that God chooses to communicate with us. And my hope and prayer in this sermon series has been that we, as a people of God, would learn to order our lives around Christ, and we would learn how to do that by listening well. That we become better listeners of God's voice. You know what? It's possible that in these last 8 sermons or so, one of them has stood out to you. It's possible that you've started practicing that one even more, and I praise God for that. It's also possible that 2 weeks from now, you won't remember any of what we've just said. I understand that. For me, personally, coming out of this sermon series, my prayer is that every day going forward, I'm going to take the prayer that Eli gave young Samuel. He told Samuel, hey, pray this, speak, Lord, for your child is listening. So for me personally, I hope that every day I say that prayer, speak, Lord, for your child is listening. And I'll probably add something like, and Lord, help me hear, because oftentimes I can't. Speak, Lord, for your child is listening, and Lord, help me hear, because oftentimes I can't. May we all become better listeners, because God wants to communicate with us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this series where we have wrestled with how you communicate with us, different ways. And I'm grateful that you don't always choose to communicate the same way. I'm grateful that you communicate differently to different people. Lord, I want to listen well, and I want us as a people of God to learn to listen well. So would you help us? May my prayer be our prayer today and in the days to come, that you would speak, Lord, for we have learned how to listen, and we want to keep hearing from you. We look forward to how you're going to do that in the days ahead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, James. There have been other several times in my life where I'll have a friend who's going through a tough time or something like that, and you know, we talk about it and talk about what's going on and stuff, and you know, we could just kind of continue on about our days without another thought or anything like that. But oftentimes, I'll feel that nudge to say, "Can I pray for you like right now?" And who knows, that might not affect anything new in their life or anything like that. But at the very least, it creates that connection between me and my friend, and it gives him the opportunity to see Christ lived out through me, which is the last line of this next song that we're going to sing. It says, "Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me." So as we sing this next song, let that be a prayer as you go through your day and you feel those nudges from the Holy Spirit.